For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, happy birthday to Pete Buck, R.E.M. I think that's a good omen for tomorrow. We're celebrating an R.E.M. birthday today.
We came up with our music theme. Yeah. It's Athens related.
Yeah.
We got Russ in studio. Things are going exactly the way we need them to go right now.
Russ Tanner, Prime Lending, AthensLender.com. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
You know a little bit about playing against LSU in an SEC championship game, don't you?
Got a few experiences.
Yeah.
The old boys from the Bayou.
14 years ago. Hello.
Thank you.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
It really is, man. This game seemed like, you remember a lot of the details. Doesn't seem that far ago. Then you're like, I have four kids now, and my beard is gray. That was 14 years. Holy moly.
What a lot of people don't know is that Sean Bailey would never be open if he didn't get the pass blocking that he got from Russ Tanner. That should be in the
Believe it or not, I was not in on that play.
No. Okay. Well, don't tell him yourself, Russ. Come on, man.
Ryan Snetzer was actually the center on that play.
We had a little rotation
that year, but yeah.
How did y'all rotate?
Whenever Callaway decided, we rotated.
Okay. I didn't know if there was a thing.
Well, yeah, when we played, Callaway wanted the offensive lineman to rotate, mm-hmm. if you could. So with our tackles we had that year, it was Dennis Rowland, Dan Inman, and Ken Shackelford had those three guys. And, me and Snitz played there at center. And then our guards, we had Nick Jones, Big Max, and who was the third one? Did Bubba? Fernando Velasquez? He might have been the third one that year. So, anyways, okay. We had a rotation that played. So, it was a – it was good times, though, beating LSU back in 05.
And I still remember Jeffrey Owens, the game he had. And LSU was they were the favorite in that game. And
they were ranked Georgia, 10, they were ranked 10 spots ahead of us in the polls,
for
those who forget.
That's right. What was it, 3-13?
3-13,
yeah.
So maybe some of our stat hounds out there could find what the line was for that game going into it. I wonder what they were, because I'm sure they were favorite.
I can go find that pretty quick, I think. It's in my office. It's in my office. I can find that one pretty fast. But no, that was a great game. It was weird too because that was the year of Hurricane Katrina, so you guys ended up playing in the Sugar Bowl in Atlanta.
Let's not talk about that. Let's go back to the SEC championship.
That game wasn't great. Was that weird for y'all? Like, hey, we're going to the Sugar Bowl, but it's in Atlanta.
Oh yeah, real weird. Because half the team was from Atlanta.
But
it was a good time.
Absolutely. But that SEC championship game was fantastic. Well, Russ, good to see you. You haven't been in since before.
I'll tell you what.
Let's see. Texas A&M weekend, you were out. And then
– we didn't do it last week.
So I guess it was before Auburn, the Auburn game.
Sheesh. Yeah, bro, we're going like 3 weeks.
Oh, my God. We got a lot of catching up to
do. Both my fans are wondering.
we have gotten one phone call in the last couple of weeks. Where's Russ? I forgot about Russ. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess he's coming
back.
There's been at least
a quarter of a dozen people that have looked at the phone and thought about calling in. Mm-hmm. So just so you know, there are multiples of people like that wondering where we're at. So at least three or four.
That's right. And we appreciate it all. Appreciate everybody.
Good to be back.
Yeah, lots happened since we've had you. Like I said, the week of Auburn was the last time we had you. And I'll admit, in hindsight, I was extremely nervous about that Auburn game out there. And lo and behold, Georgia, by all accounts, beat the crap out of them.
Just had
a bad fourth quarter defensively.
Yeah.
But you
throttled them. You know, in that game, there were a couple of pass opportunities. Fromm missed a guy. I think there was a drop or two to where, you're really close to that game being a 38-7 type deal. End up 21-14. Doesn't really tell, the score doesn't tell the tape of how well Georgia played overall, especially on the defense.
Big fat W. That's all that matters.
Yep. So, we had that and then squeaked by the Texas A&M, kind of the same deal again. And then fortunately we rolled the nerds last week.
We all said a couple cuss words in the second quarter, but there's not a game that's gone by this season where a cuss word has not come out of every Georgia fan's mouth at some point. But to put the record 52, that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fantastic. And I've seen a lot of film breakdown, too. You mentioned, like, squeaking by A&M. There have been a lot of missed opportunities this Georgia offense just can't connect on. Just here and there, little missed blocks or an open receiver that wasn't seen by Fromm. That can't happen tomorrow, Russ. We got to hit on those things, man. We got to hit on every single one of them.
No, look, you know, when you look at this, you know, Georgia, we talked about the start of the year.
Mm-hmm.
From a roster standpoint, Georgia's as talented as anybody in the country. Mm-hmm. You know, right there with LSU. Now, there are areas where both teams have superior talent to the other. Like, the LSU wide receivers this year are nasty. Like, they are freak shows that hurt you, that are dangerous and all that. And Georgia has struggled at the wide receiver position, especially with Cager being hurt and Pickens being out some. So, you know, you got stuff there. But, I mean, overall, if you just go down, you know, roster, man for man, they match up pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the place that obviously has been the big difference is just the explosion of offense that LSU's had. And Georgia's not going to come out and explode on offense. We're not going to drop a 50-piece on LSU. But, you know, the thing that's got to happen for Georgia on offense is, you know, Fromm's got to be average to above average. If he is that, if he hits the open receivers, somebody makes a play, he makes the throws that are there to be made. He doesn't have to be a superstar. He doesn't have to put himself back in the Heisman running with one game. He's got to play solid, hit the guys that are open, not turn the ball over. Georgia's got a shot to beat LSU. You know, how good is that shot? I don't know. But
a shot.
Yeah. That's but if Fromm plays well, Georgia's got a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it's been a little bit inconsistent this year?
I don't know. It's hard to see.
Is it maybe not just one thing?
It's definitely not one thing.
Yeah.
You know, if it was one thing, I promise you Kirby would have fixed that by now.
That's a good point.
I don't want to make the accusation because it can be looked at as a negative but or a positive. Georgia does seem like maybe this year and other years recent, they can play down to an opponent or play up to an opponent at the same time. I think Fromm's best games that he's played as a Georgia Bulldog have been on the biggest of stages. And you're going to go back to Mercedes-Benz this week.
Yeah.
I know he's 2-1-2 there, yeah. Unfortunately, two losses, but both of those losses, Fromm played out of his mind.
Out of his mind.
And I expect that maybe tomorrow, too.
Why
wouldn't I until I see otherwise?
Look, man, winners don't quit being winners,
right?
Because there's a couple of games where they've struggled. You know, Fromm has struggled the last three or four games. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not breaking news. He knows that. Everybody in the world that's a Georgia fan knows that. But the dude is a winner, and it's in him. You just hope it shows up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, when you've been on the big stage, whether it be his first start in South Bend
right.
3 years ago, whether it be in the Rose Bowl against an Oklahoma team that was considered to be one of the best offenses we've ever seen 3 years ago, whether it be, you know, early this year against Notre Dame, whether it be the SEC Championship game a year or so ago, I mean, he's got moments to where you look like, dude, this guy's going to be a first or second round draft pick in the NFL. So hopefully that's it. You know, as far as what the problems are this year, I don't know. The offensive line, I think, has played pretty well overall. I think the grades kind of show that. The running game's been solid. You know, the wide receivers have not been what Georgia wants them to be as far as being game breakers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's areas all across the board on the offensive side that it's just got to click, and it just hasn't clicked on a consistent basis.
Russ Tanner here in the studio with us, and the Dogs are getting set to take on LSU tomorrow. It, you know, unless something goes crazy wrong, looks like Joe Burrow's going to win the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
Although Justin Fields is
balling.
Let's not throw him out of there either. But tell us what you think about when you watch Joe Burrow and this LSU offense.
They're explosive as all get out.
Yep.
You know, and that's what you want. Like, everybody that watches an offense wants to do what they do, where you throw the ball down the field. And it has a lot to do, by the way, with their wide receivers. I mean, those cats, Jamar Chase. What's the other one's name? Jamar Chase. And I can't remember the other cat's name. They are ballers.
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. And they run the ball fine. Yeah. I mean, they're averaging $170 a game. That's solid. But, I mean, Burrow apparently has the green light to let it rip tater chip, you know, down the field, throwing it.
Yeah.
And they're doing that stuff. They're taking shots. And Burrow's been very accurate. He's been very smart with the football, and his players have made plays, meaning when the wide receivers get the ball, they don't miss many opportunities. And, you know, they've capitalized on that. You know, they haven't really laid that many eggs this year, especially in the big games that we've seen. They've played out of their mind. So, you know, maybe they're due to lay an egg for a game or so, and hopefully it's tomorrow.
That'd be nice because you look at these numbers, and they're mind-boggling. Jefferson and Chase have – combined for 151 catches, 2,500 and something yards, and 30 touchdowns.
Yeah,
between the two of them. And Burrow has thrown 44 TDs and only 6 picks this year, which is
how crazy is it, by the way, that this Georgia team, this Georgia defense, could be the reason that Justin Fields wins the Heisman.
Oh my gosh!
If they were to absolutely throttle Joe Burrow,
yeah,
you know. He just had, and I don't think we're going to throttle Joe Burrow, by the way. I think Georgia defense is very good and has a chance to slow him down some and make him, you know, make him execute at a high level. But if we just absolutely throttle him, he looked terrible, and Fields balls out against Wisconsin, you know, that'd be a heck of a note.
That'd be just add that into being a Georgia fan. Well, you know, it's funny too. Their running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's run for 1,233 yards and 16 touchdowns. Kirby couldn't stop saying nice things about him. How much, though, does he benefit from the passing game?
A ton.
Yeah.
You know, the problem – you know, Georgia's running game has been effective this year.
Yeah.
But the place we haven't been, you know, as dominant in the running game as we want to is because other teams' safeties have been down around the line of scrimmage. If you watch Georgia's running game, you'll see a lot of guys are wearing, like, number 16, number 12, number 28, making tackles at the line of scrimmage. And those guys are safeties. They're little skinny – pencil neck defensive backs that are down there making plays. You can't block those guys. You literally don't have enough bodies. If you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,
yeah,
you don't have enough guys to block that safety. And it's because the Georgia wide receiving core has not scared opposing defenses on a regular basis, especially with Cager out again. So with LSU, everybody that plays LSU has to keep their safeties back, meaning there are less guys at the line of scrimmage that you have to block in order to get positive yards in the run game. So when those safeties back up, it's a lot easier to run the football. And you're going to see it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Georgia's going to try very hard to stop the run with their front seven, meaning the four down linemen, three down linemen, and four linebackers. We run the 3-4 or the 4-3, whichever it is. Our safety's going to be back because you've got to stop their wide receivers. You cannot let those guys beat you over the top for a quick strike deal. So, you know, it helps their running back, Clyde. I was calling him Clyde.
Clyde.
That's the easiest way. Yeah. Just Clyde.
Yeah.
Edwards-Helaire.
It helps him a ton.
He's averaging 7 yards a carry. I'm rounding up, but still, he does have a long run of 89 yards this year too. They go up and down the field, and it's not one of those tomorrow. You know, in this, do you think tomorrow's game? You know, when you talk about these modern day defenses, and now what Georgia's done, you know, holding teams to 10 points a game and that kind of thing, but don't you think defense today is more about winning moments, winning third downs? Winning, which, you know, a lot of times when you're winning third down, you probably won first and second down in that position. Getting a big hit to move, you know, move teams back behind the chains, those kind of things. You can still give up 300 yards and 21 points and feel like you've played a good defensive game, right, if you've caused a couple of turnovers. And that's the kind of thing. I mean, isn't that what modern-day defense is about more than it was, you know, 20, 30 years ago?
That ain't what Kirby's modern-day defense is about.
No, like, but that's what I'm saying. They're winning a lot of them.
Look, Georgia's different.
Yeah.
That's the thing. As a Georgia fan right now, if you have hope, let me tell you why. It's because our defense is elite this year. That doesn't mean LSU's not – LSU may railroad us on that tomorrow. But you just look at the stats of what Georgia has done from a defensive standpoint, they have been nasty. Because, you know, to your point, LSU and Alabama, their defenses are not elite this year. You know, looking at the stats right now, LSU's giving up 22 points a game. Well, they're scoring 48, so that helps. But they're giving up a lot of points right there. That's on average. So that means they've dropped. They've let people get 30 on them a couple times. They've had people in the upper 20s a couple times. So, you know, they're trying to be opportunistic. And they basically think, like you said, if we make a sack, we take a chance to get a pick. You know, whatever. Let them score. We get the ball back. We're going to go score too. Alabama and LSU have both tried to do that. Georgia's different, man. Like, this is still an old-school defense. You know, this whole junk – it's the junkyard dog defense. That's what it is. It's what Irk Russell coached, where you don't have a star. You don't have a stud. You don't have one guy to look at and say, oh, man, without him, our boat is up the creek and our paddle's broken. Like, that ain't it. And they have absolutely shut down everybody they've played from an offensive standpoint this year. This defense has been elite. Now, they're playing the best offense in the country tomorrow. That is LSU without a doubt. There's not a single program in America that will not take LSU's offense over what they currently run. Ohio State may argue, but at the end of the day, you're going to take what LSU's doing. So, you know, it's strength versus strength. It's good on good, one-on-one. I mean, this is what it's about, baby.
Would it surprise you if I told you that LSU has actually not scored the most touchdowns in the league this year.
In the SEC?
In the SEC, yeah, in the league.
What, Alabama?
Alabama has scored 78 touchdowns, LSU 76.
Well, when Tua's got his, or had his junior wide receivers all clicking, that was a pretty potent offense itself.
Has anybody ever scored more touchdowns throwing a slant pattern than Alabama has, by the way?
You got those receivers, you take advantage of
that. That Jalen Waddle cat.
Oh, my gosh.
I was, some guy I follow on Twitter, a recruiting guy, he's like, you know, when these recruits tell me they run a 4.3 in high school, I show him video of Jalen Waddle.
Exactly.
Just so you know, that's a 4.3.
That's it. Yeah, you ain't running a 4.3. You might say you are. By the way, I was just going to say LSU scored 76 touchdowns this year. Georgia has scored 46.
Seems like a difference.
A little discrepancy.
That is crazy.
Seems like a difference.
Yeah.
So Georgia's defense tomorrow, you broke down, you know, the style they play. Would they be better suited trying to get after Burrow tomorrow, or kind of just sit back, be patient, and make him dissect us?
You're gonna do some of both.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to do some of both, just like Georgia's done all year. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. They're probably in our numbers here. You know, we pressured the quarterback more this year. I don't know if the sack numbers show that.
Right.
But Nolan Smith, Azeez Ojulari, you know, those guys come off the edge have been really good for Georgia this year. So we've been able to create a little bit of pressure, a little bit of push in the pocket with our front four guys. So, you know, I don't think you beat Joe Burrow if he can stand there and count to five Mississippi and then throw the ball. You know, you've got to make him uncomfortable.
The thing he'll do to you, though, is if he gets out of the pocket, then he kills you.
Yeah, Georgia's an opportunistic blitzing team. Like, we are not, you know, this is not a Rex Ryan defense where we're bringing the house cover zero every single time. But they're going to bring heat. You know, if they feel the matchups are there to pressure the quarterback, it's going to happen. But, you know, Kirby and Coach Lanning and all those guys, they're really good about not leaving their guys out on an island.
Yeah.
And we mentioned LSU receivers more than one time already. You can't leave too many guys one-on-one with those cats or else they will burn you. So, you know, Georgia's going to bring pressure. They're going to try to find their spots to do that. And you've got to make Burrow uncomfortable. And honestly, man, you've got to win the turnover battle. Like, it's the oldest thing in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Georgia's only plus two for the year. Like, we've got if LSU wins the turnover battle – Georgia does not beat them tomorrow, plain and simple.
And think about what happened last year in Baton Rouge, where they ended up winning by 20 points, too.
Yep.
There were things that went wrong in the turnover battle in that game also, too. So, I know, and it's funny, it feels – I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it feels weird to me that game in Baton Rouge last year seems like it was 5 years ago. It wasn't last year.
I don't even remember it.
I know, exactly. I don't remember the specifics of it just because it was such a –
That was,
it was
a
bad game.
Well, that was the travel game for all the Georgia fans. That's all I remember. But otherwise,
yeah.
I don't remember anything
Georgia
about
fans.
It.
Georgia fans were hung over on game day. They didn't save their partying for after the game. They went to New Orleans the Thursday, Friday before.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good old time. It's easy to get caught up in the Nolans lifestyle, no doubt about it. I don't know. But the defense, as you said, I saw a stat yesterday that was pretty intriguing, that since 2000, there's been 18 – 19 SEC championship games so far. 14 of the winners have the better ranked defense amongst the two.
Yeah.
Now, that's not saying that they all go against LSU's offense. That's a whole nother animal. But defense wins games, and SEC is a defense-driven league, and I think that'll show tomorrow. I think there's certainly hope there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, defense didn't stop winning championships last week,
exactly.
By the way.
Right.
You know, from the time I love football, which has been a long time. We just mentioned I hadn't played in 14 years, so I've been watching football a long time. I mean, you know, look at, what was it, the 05 Ravens, teams like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Joe Flacco as your quarterback, or Trent Dilfer, I guess it was back then, and you're winning Super Bowls because you've got an elite defense. Now, I'm not saying this is the Ray Lewis Ravens.
Well, look at last year's Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What was it, 13-3? Or no, what was the whatever the Patriots won?
Like, look at some of the Alabama teams. Greg McElroy should not have a national championship as a quarterback. But you know why they won? Because their defense was legit.
Crazy good.
Legit. So there's other Alabama quarterbacks, too, that it's funny because the championship Saban's won. If you said, hey, quick, without looking it up, name the Alabama quarterbacks.
Yeah,
Greg McElroy.
John Parker Wilson.
I'd have to think about it.
Yeah.
Because they had good defense.
Yeah.
Straight up.
You know, we'll see, man. It sets up well for Georgia just to come in and be, you know, play all out. I mean, people say, we got something in the playbook we're holding back. Like, no. There's no plays right now that Georgia is going
Tyler
to install.
Tyler Simmons says differently.
On that interview. I put the video up. Everybody did. It wasn't just me. But, yeah, when Tyler Simmons said that, my first thought was, if you had that, there's certainly been opportunities this year where you would have needed to use that. I haven't seen it. But I don't. Maybe there is a play or two they've been working on that they're ready to pull out.
Yeah, sneaky snake. To pull out stuff that you've been working on is different. Mm-hmm. We're not installing a new offense.
Right.
It's not going to be a brand new look where all of a sudden you're like, holy moly, we put this in last week. This is crazy.
Now, one thing I would personally love to see Georgia do a little bit more of, the offense has seemed to be very good when they're in hurry-up mode. I know there are ways that teams combat that, the fake injuries like Notre Dame did. That happened to a couple other teams, too.
LSU ain't punks.
Right. So, But I would like, if there's any sort of wrinkle or change, I would love to see Coley go into a little bit more hurry up at times tomorrow. And because it's a likely shootout of a game, if LSU's going to score a lot of points, Georgia also needs to go into we've got to score mode, not just wear them down until the fourth quarter and try to get out of here with a 23-17 win or something like that.
Would you take a tied game to start the fourth quarter right now?
You betcha. Absolutely.
Look, man, hurry up comes at the expense of your defense.
Right.
Especially against a team like LSU. You know, if you put your cats back out there that quick against what they do, it's tough. So, you know, Georgia will probably do – you'll probably see no hurry.
Yeah.
I hope we see no hurry tomorrow. Yeah. That means we're choking them. You'll probably see some hurry up, no huddle stuff. But, you know, it won't be the whole game. So, you know, I don't know, man. I think Georgia can come out. They're in position to be aggressive right now. The only way LSU – because the SEC is huge. I mean, win the SEC is the number one goal of a program every year if you're in the league. That being said, in the era of college football playoffs, that's lost a little bit of its importance because LSU is in, right? Like, they're in the playoff. The only way LSU doesn't make the playoff tomorrow is what?
Boat race.
If Georgia 41-3s them and they look terrible, that's the only way. And even then,
they're still going to be in the conversation.
Yeah, I would.
So, you know, they can't come out and run fake punts and, you know, do the triple reverse, the annexation of Puerto Rico, you know, whatever it may be.
Sneaky snake.
I mean, you know, Georgia can. You know, and that's, again, it's not trick plays. When people talk about this, it's not Georgia running trick plays. It's, hey, look, man, throw it deep. What do you mean throw it deep, Coach? Look, Matthew Landers is due to catch one. Like, throw it deep. He's 6'9" and can jump out of the gym. Chunk it up there.
Yeah. And hopefully he'll lay out for one maybe, or he'll extend for one.
There you go.
Hopefully at some point, yeah. All right, hang on, Russ. We're going to take a timeout. The Dogs and LSU coming up tomorrow. Russ Tanner, Prime Lending, and you can find Russ online at athenslender.com. He's here in the studio with us until 9 o'clock as we talk about the Dogs and LSU. All right, it's 8:28.
Snakes and airplanes. Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself.
And welcome back to the morning show 960 The Ref, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Logan, Dave, and Russ Tanner in studio. Go ahead and take this song over, Russ.
I don't have my earphones on.
Oh, sorry. What do we got? It's The End of the World by REM.
Oh.
It's a lot of lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, it's End of the World for Georgia. We don't have a shot tomorrow, right?
You could not.
I mean, LSU's the greatest ever.
Depending on who you listen to, that's right.
I mean, Joe Brady is pretty much the Bill Belichick for college offenses. I mean, nobody's ever done it better. Georgia can't beat them.
Perfect segue into exactly what I was going to ask you, because there's two different things that players, and I'm asking you because you are a former player, when you are getting propped up like LSU is getting, I'm sure in their locker room, their meetings, their circle of friends on the team, they're hearing a lot about how they are just going to smoke Georgia this weekend. And the other, conversely, Georgia's hearing a lot about how Georgia has no chance, this and that, all the negative things that go along with it. As a player, which side do you prefer to be on there, and how does it affect your mindset and game plan either way?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's a side you prefer to be on. I mean, I guess you'd want to be on the team that's being favored just because it probably means you've had a better year, you play better, and you're in position to, you know, to win. But, you know, the other side, man, where Georgia's at is a good place to be as an athlete. I mean, these guys, you don't get to be a player at the level where these guys are right now. And I'm talking about the cats are on the field playing without having some ego about you, without having, honestly, a little bit of prick in you somewhere. Like, it's just part of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got alpha dogs filling these locker rooms, both sides. So, you know, when the alpha dog gets challenged and somebody else comes up and says, hey, you ain't nothing but a poodle, you know, the alpha wants to bow up, right? And if you hear all week, you can't do it, 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 you can't do it. Guess what? You're going to try to throw a freaking haymaker and show people, like, you know, I am an alpha.
And by the way, what are the coaches? They're former players.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear that stuff either.
No, and if
but they can use it for motivation.
Is there a more alpha dog than Kirby Smart?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, I guarantee you, if if we Georgia fans got to sit in on that Friday night meeting or that Saturday pregame speech from Kirby,
yeah,
I guarantee you he's ready to eat.
Well, yeah, I was gonna, that's you know? Exactly what I was thinking of, because we've seen the leaked,
we've seen
air
some
quotes, leaked footage of things that come out there. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's a different Kirby than we get on Mondays at when media gets together.
Yeah.
In a good way.
But every coach is like that.
Well, you saw Coach Orgeron. He had the clip leaked of his locker room after the Bama win.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's locker room material. Should have never gotten
even
out.
Even the
but, I mean,
Cardinals
it's,
baseball coach.
Yeah.
You know, it was like,
we saw Snicker
like
do it. Snicker did it back when we won the the division.
Why would you think coaches wouldn't do that?
So from that standpoint, I mean, when you're an alpha dog that gets challenged, like, you want to prove, like, mm-hmm. I'm here for a reason. Now, if you think for a second the LSU coaches are looking at the situation thinking we got it, you're wrong, because Georgia's team is talented, super talented. And it's not like last week, man. When Georgia played Georgia Tech, Kirby even said so much in the press conference. And for a coach to say these things, he didn't down Georgia Tech, but he was honest. He's like, look, man, they got a ways to go. You know, their offensive line has to improve for them to be able to compete on a regular basis. So it wasn't down to Tech. It's just the honest truth. When you're, you know, starting left guard is 6'3", 268, you ain't going to block Jordan Davis. Tyler Clark is going to make plays in the backfield. So this ain't that. You know, this ain't, you know, a lightweight stepping up into the heavyweight division trying to knock out Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are two cats that know how to throw haymakers, that have won big games, that are talented, that can do it. Tail of the tape matches up physically.
By the way, what is it with what are your thoughts on Tyler Clark? I've heard LSU reference him like several times this year.
He's disruptive, man.
And he doesn't get a whole lot of fanfare, but he's so good.
Look, I haven't got to do it much, but I got to go to practice a few weeks ago. And the thing that stuck out to me is how big these guys are. And guys like Tyler Clark in particular, like, you see him on TV and you lose track because of perspective. You see him against other giants. Like, I'm a big dude. I'm 6'4" and I weigh 300 pounds. Tyler Clark is bigger than I am. And we are built slightly different.
I've
you know,
had
he
that
can
thought.
Move.
I'm not sure I've ever stood next to a man as big as Jordan Davis.
He's enormous.
It might be a true fact I just said. But have never stood next to a man that big.
Here's the thing about these teams. That it's not – I mean, you expect the offensive linemen and defensive linemen to be big, but, like, when you're down on the field before a game and the defensive backs come up, and you look at those guys, like, those guys are big too.
Of the guys – I'll give you a perfect example of that. Of Georgia's starting defensive backs, who do y'all think is the smallest one?
I would guess Tyson Campbell.
Tyson Campbell? I don't think so.
No.
I think he's bigger than one other guy. Who's Georgia's best corner this year?
Best corner?
Yeah.
I would say Stokes, perhaps.
Eric Stokes.
Yeah.
So Eric Stokes was like a thin guy, not that big. He's like
track star. Yeah.
He's like 6'1", 6'2", and probably weighs a buck 90. I mean, it's crazy. They're all just big cats.
Well, even like J.R. Reed, 6'1", or 6'2", and weighs a buck 90.
So, you know what, man? Like, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, Vegas has LSU at 7 points. You know, that's a pretty good number for a big-time championship game where both teams are highly ranked and doing good. So, Vegas knows better than we do, but it's a one-score game. I mean, this is not Appalachian State going to Michigan. If we upset them, it's not going to shock the world.
Right.
And you're not going to hear Georgia players saying anything about shock the world. Like, they expect to win this football game tomorrow. You know, their backs are against the wall a little bit just from hearing, you know, how they can't do anything with LSU. They can't stop their offense, and then they can't move the ball on their defense. Like, that gets drilled into you all week long, and, you know, hopefully the Cats respond. Not the Cats. The Dogs respond. These cats.
Well, speaking of these cats, by the way, Grant Delpit, there's another guy. He's like 6'3", 205.
I mean, Grant Delpit, Derek Stingley Jr. for them. Yeah. Like, they've got high-end NFL talent playing on their defense.
And even if they're that's what I was going to say. Even if their defensive numbers don't blow you away, they still got ballers on that side of the – and LSU always has great athletes.
Always do.
Always has great athletes. But those receivers – because you're mentioning the 2013 game, and there's Odell Beckham, and there's Jarvis Landry, and, you know, Mettenberger was throwing some pretty good.
Hey, that was a great game.
That was.
You know, it's crazy, too. Like, do you remember, by the way, that was the first time for anybody that was in the stadium before the game where we saw OBJ realize that.
Yeah.
Because you remember he caught, like, a kickoff going out of the back of the end zone. He jumped and snagged it one hand, and everybody was like,
what?
Holy moly.
We got a preview of what was going on.
Hello.
Yeah.
Super, super talented, man. Look, here.
A preview of a guy letting you down on your fantasy.
Of all the teams in the SEC, like, I like LSU. You know, if Georgia is not playing LSU, I typically pull for them. I mean, they're just,
yeah,
you know.
I've had that thought. If you woke up one morning, if you woke up and the Georgia Bulldogs had vanished, there's nothing there, but I wanted to continue to be an SEC fan, they hate all the teams I hate.
Yeah.
They got nothing against LSU. Yeah. Again, I'm not. There's a lot of times. I think most times they play, like you said, I'd prefer them to win than the opponent.
Yep, and people like us, the kind of modern era Georgia fans, and I mean modern era from simple, just games you remember, like, it's a good series between Georgia and LSU.
Yeah.
Going back to, you know, 03 or so. Mm-hmm.
Well, the game here with when you boat raced them pretty bad. That was a great van. What year was that, by the way? Is that 04?
That was 04, because 03 we played in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
Pulling into the stadium. I love the fact that, like, you never get as many birds shot to you as when you're pulling to the LSU stadium. Like, they all shoot you a bird. That's what they do. It's kind of how they wave in New Orleans or in the bayou, I guess. But, you know, we're pulling in the stadium before the game, and they block our buses. We got like a 7-bus entourage, and they literally block our buses and start rocking it and throwing stuff at us. You're like, what are these?
You're like, what is going on?
So you get out there, and we go to walk out of the locker room, like, before 2 or 3 hours before the game to go walk the field, and they've got that freaking tiger sitting at the end of it. So, you know, you got all these cats with us, man. They ain't ever even been to the zoo in Atlanta. You got to walk beside a tiger within 4 feet of her, so that kind of messed our heads. You walk out on the field, and the LSU student section is slap full. I mean, slap full, 2 hours before the game, and they're chanting in unison, you Georgia.
Yeah.
They weren't
What's
saying
that LSU
either.
Song? That
Neck is what it's
yeah,
called.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They got their own lyrics to it.
Yeah,
let's put it
exactly.
That way.
So, you
I
know,
cannot
man.
Say that on air.
Here's a funny little thing they do in baseball. So there's a lot of weekends where they're playing at home and they've won the Friday and Saturday game. So they're going, you know, trying to get the sweep. And when you come up on the team bus on Friday and Saturday, the people that work there is, and they're always nice. They're friendly and everything. But on Sunday, when you pull up, if they've won Friday and Sunday, the guy who's wearing the yellow jacket, you know, who's helping park the bus, he's got a little sweeper, and he's clearing off the area in front of the bus.
There
you know,
go.
Come on in. Y'all are pulling up on here, and he's not doing anything but just sweeping the ground, and it's just little things like that, man. Yeah,
and here's why people like us like LSU, or why I do anyways, like, they were always good to my family and stuff when we played there.
Yeah.
So, like, outside, if you talk to any Georgia fan that's going to an LSU game, outside the stadium, they're great. Now,
good food, too.
Inside, yeah. it resembles a war zone a little bit, which is okay. It's every man for himself. But they feed you. They're good to you. You know, LSU, they're not Florida, man. Their fans are not trashy jerks. Sorry if you're a Florida fan. Not really.
It's a fantastic series. I mean, 2008, Darryl Gamble, first play of the game, pick six. Sean Marino, I think 61-yard touchdown run that day. 2009, it was a heartbreaker for Georgia. That was the A.J. Green celebration penalty after they took the lead very late and then went south from there. But, I mean, 2013, you just mentioned, fantastic. The 2011 SEC championship didn't go Georgia's way at all.
My personal career highlight comes in 2003 in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
There you go.
On a screen pass Mr. Tyson Browning. Because, I mean, I ain't one to brag. But, I mean, I'm just saying, if you go watch the film, I did get two guys on their backs on that one play. Oh,
that's awesome.
One may have tripped, but my hand hit him first.
That's
so that counts.
Caused
it. So Tyson, my boy Tyson, I tell him, I joke with him, I was like, man, I'm so glad you went 91 yards to the house, because that's the only highlight I ever show up on anymore. So
that's funny. So I need to go back and look at that. Did you end up doing the shuffle, or because you had taken two out, you were good?
No, I'm pretty sure it was – I was a gear above the fat boy shuffle. I was not doing a wog. If y'all have forgotten, a wog is a walking jog. Yeah, I did not go the full length of the field. I mean, you jump once or twice, you throw your arms in there, you try to look very excited, but then, you know, you try to make it to about the 45, between the 45s, you're trying to do a sharp left turn to your sideline.
Yeah, you told us that before of how it works. So
Logan's trying to pull it up over there.
I'm trying real hard to find the touch. It was late in the game, right?
I don't know. I have to look it up.
Okay.
Yeah, it was late in the game. Yeah. That was
17-10 victory.
Yeah, that was one where the screen pass, and then they come back down.
Yeah,
I guess
great.
It was on the next possession.
It was a great game, man.
Oh, yeah.
Look, and for me, like, I remember, like, I had Chad Lavallee that game. Like, Chad Lavallee was a beast in college.
You said that was the toughest guy you faced.
Yeah, he was the best combination. There were big, strong guys. There were quick guys. He was both.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, they had him and Marcus Spears and, you know, Booger McFarland, by the way, was a freshman who ended up being like a first-round draft pick for him that year. So, I mean, they were super talented. So, it was awesome, man.
So, but that's the thing that when, and by the way, when LSU gets in the SEC championship game, they do a pretty good job of cashing in. The only time they've lost was when Georgia beat them. They're 4-1 in the SEC championship game, and here they are coming in as a touchdown favorite. Yeah. But I still do. I don't know. You'd agree too. Their fans are the nuttiest. You know, when they come to Athens, you know LSU's in town, and I say nutty in kind of a
they're not bad.
Way. Yeah,
they're here for the party, baby.
Exactly. They're all about it. And Georgia's fans are starting to get that reputation too about Georgia traveling well and the fans there. So
it's going to be interesting to me to see what happens this year with just, you know, who kind of does the stadium takeover, because I think Georgia fans, there's gotten a little bit of fatigue, I think, from Georgia fans, because we've won the SEC East 3 years in a row. So it's not all this big, everybody's going, pack it out again.
It's not 2017. Yeah.
And I think LSU, a lot of teams now in the playoff era have learned their lesson from Georgia fans from 2017, where we all had to take out second mortgages on our house to be able to afford all the tickets we went to that year.
Yeah.
So, like, I've got a buddy in Baton Rouge. I was talking to him yesterday, actually. I said, "You coming, man?" He's like, "No, man." He says, I better not try to do my Cajun accent. It'll turn into something else that doesn't work.
Coach O.
Yeah, he was like, "Man, I got to save up, because if we make the playoffs,
we'll see.
We may be going to Arizona, and I'm definitely going to that." So,
and that may be something that works in Georgia's advantage tomorrow, is the fact that what you're saying
they
is –
they think they got it. Well,
they think even if we don't win, we're still in the playoff, and we got to save some money. So there may not be as many LSU fans, or it may not be as raucous as it possibly could
be. I did talk to another buddy in the airport yesterday. He said it's a lot of purple and gold.
Oh, I'm
airport,
not saying so, they're not coming, but it might
it's
be
It's
going to
be great, man. It is going to be a lot of fun. Like, let's not be the sour fans, by the way, that go into it, you know, all down in the dumps, saying we don't have a shot, and if we lose, it's the end of the world, and we need to fire everybody and get rid of Kirby and let Bobo be the head coach. Like, let's not do that. I mean, Georgia is dominating the SEC East right now at levels that they haven't seen in a long, long time. And this team is very good.
They're in position to reload every year right now.
Every year.
It's not like this is a window that we have to win now or it's done. This is a program that is different now.
Yeah.
In a very good way.
You know, and it's so crazy, too, because I follow recruiting. I know you guys look at it some, too, but, like, the recruiting, we're not tracking to be the number one recruiting class this year. You know what? Neither LSU hadn't been for the last 5 years, and now they're world beaters. You know, Clemson never is. They're top three, top four, top five.
I think Clemson, what you're looking at now with Clemson's roster, that's the product of, I think, a number two, number seven, and number 15 overall class.
So that's fine. You know, Georgia has elite talent. They've got to play a complete game. So, you know, let's go.
Stevie T says, I won't read the whole email here, but basically he says, do you doubt Fromm or do you doubt our defense? Because Kirby doesn't. And he's like, you know, that's kind of the question.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you were saying earlier on. Fromm's got to play well. He's probably got to play better than he's played the last month. And the defense has got to be the defense.
Yep.
Your boys have got to be your boys, right?
That's right, man. Who's going to be the dude?
Eric also emailed in, and this wasn't really a question, but we were talking about the SEC championship game at the Dome, and he was saying, does anyone remember the Jumbotron image of a 10-12-year-old LSU fan weeping uncontrollably as his father gave him a reassuring hug? I don't remember that, but I wouldn't mind seeing that one. He said, oddly, that's my most vivid memory from the game. Well, it is weird what we take away from different
games. The best LSU-Georgia picture ever is – my man, the big homie, Daniel Inman. Y'all know the picture Daniel Inman's in?
No.
I'll try to pull it up. Look, it's a kicking a field goal or an extra point or something against LSU, and he's blocking two guys, and he literally has one guy in a headlock. So I'll find it and send it to you. You guys can post it or something. So, you know, that's here it is.
Y'all ought to see that. All right, it's 8:53. The morning show is presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. We'll go around the SEC, brought to you by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. We'll do a little bit more of that in the 9 o'clock hour. We got Russ Tanner in here. Prime Lending, Russ Tanner, and you can find Russ online at athenslender.com. By however many points Georgia wins tomorrow, Russ will be cutting you a special. Oh, wait, I didn't clear
that. Yeah, let's do it, man. Put it out there.
I didn't clear that with Russ. Hang on a
second. Percentage point down?
Sounds good. Yeah.
Oh, that joke never gets old. Dave, it's a real crowd pleaser.
We just gave away free houses, man.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, we're giving away a house.
That's right.
If we're paying for your house tomorrow. We are not.
The Dogs win by 3 touchdowns tomorrow. Russ will buy your house.
You don't owe Russ anything.
According to where you live, there's a few conditions that may apply.
That's right, yes. That's where you get
the fine print.
All right, so before we let you go, all right, we've been talking about
it. Yeah, let's go, baby.
That's what Logan and I have been saying the last 2 days. Like, there's not a whole lot left to say.
Look, I'm going to be in the stadium. I'm excited. Get to be there with some buddies. You know, we as Georgia fans are living in an age right now to where if Kirby can, over the next year or two, maybe even this year, win a national championship, we're going to look back and say this is probably the greatest time in the history of Georgia football. Now, we're a national championship away from that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking the 80s, the early 80s, because that's still, you know, what we hold to.
But that's kind of what this is compared to, right?
Yeah,
now.
It's a special time.
The two best times in Georgia history.
Yeah, Georgia's dominating the East, you know, and fans this year, no matter what happens tomorrow, Georgia fans should feel really good about this team, this program, where we're at. I mean, if nothing else, we are dominating Florida. We are dominating Auburn. We are dominating Tech. We are dominating Tennessee.
Yeah.
Give me that every year.
It's all good.
And then we've got a shot to win. So, you know, we'll see. You know, next year, you know, Joe Brady is probably not going to be at LSU again.
I hope not.
Unless they pay him, no lie, north of $2 million a year, which they may very well do. So, you know,
it's not like his window is closing. The guy's 30 years old.
Yeah. LSU feels like a team of destiny this year.
Yeah.
Let's give credit where it's due, man. They've been fun to watch. They've been explosive. You know, Ed Orgeron was a guy that a lot of people tried to make memes out of and try to make jokes about and call him the Cookie Monster and say he's not good and this, that, and the other. Like, the dude is a motivator who is obviously a heck of a football coach and has his cats playing at an unbelievably high level.
Players love him. Absolutely love him.
If you wear the red and black, if you came to play between the hedges, if you sign with Kirby Paul Smart to be a part of this football program, tomorrow is why you did it. You didn't sign up to play a very below average Georgia Tech team or to play Appalachian State. You did it to be in the SEC championship game when the lights are the brightest, the stage is the biggest, with a chance to bring it all home, put another trophy in the box.
You're the man, Russ. Always great to see
you. Thank you, Russ.
Russ Tanner. The one and only. Again, Prime Lending, AthensLender.com. Fourth and final hour coming up next here on The Ref.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.